Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines. Now we'd like to welcome Elisam Escobar and Lawrence Reyes to the show. Elisam joins us from Puerto Rico. He's a former political prisoner in prison from 1980 to 1999, and now is dean in the painting department of the School of Plastic Arts in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Lawrence Reyes joins us in the studio. He works for Danza Puerto Riqueña and is one of the coordinators of Not Enough Space, an interactive exhibit showcasing the art of current and former political prisoners, including Elisam Escobar. The exhibit is currently being shown at Self-Help Graphics and Arts in East Los Angeles. Welcome, Elisam and Lawrence, to the show.
Thank you.
Elisam,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi, how you doing?
How you doing, Elisam?
¿Cómo está, Elisam?
I'm okay.
Elisam, why don't we start with you? Why don't you give us a brief background to your life? What were the moments of politicization, and what were the decisions for you to join the movement? I know most people know the struggle of the political prisoners in Puerto Rico, but, you know, a lot of people don't know about you in particular. Why don't you give us a little background?
Well, in my case, and, you know, in the case of many others, we are, you know, generations, family generations involved in the struggle. So I have this continuity from my great uncle to my uncle to my father, and then, you know, I got involved in the student struggle during the 1960s and the Vietnam War, and we were refusing the draft. So since that time, I have been part of the independentista movement and also the socialist organizations until when in the 70s, late 70s, when I joined the clandestine movement, when there was a moment in the struggle where we thought that it was necessary to respond to the repression and attacks from the police, the FBI, COINTELPRO, and other right-wing organizations in Puerto Rico. So since then, you know, I've been involved, and as you know, we were arrested in 1980, mm-hmm. and we did 20 years in prison, and then after a big and very efficient campaign, we were able to get out by the commutation of the sentence, but we spent about 5 years on some, you know, conditions. But finally, we were able to overcome that. And right now, we have a complete excarceration. So trying to also reorganize the campaign to the excarceration of Carlos Alberto Torres and Oscar López, who have been, you know, a quarter of a century in prison.
Mm-hmm. Elisam, I mean, how have you personally reflected on that time, you know, since the almost 7 years you were released from prison? How have you reflected, how have you now analyzed the time that you did serve? And how much was Puerto Rico changed by the time you came back?
Well, you know, it's a very, very difficult question. I mean, you know, we have to have a conference. Right? But I think that, yes, you know, I think that the changes in Puerto Rico, in the struggle for independence, and in general, are also in the same situation that globally, you know, the left mm-hmm. has dispersed, and, you know, there's like a new rethinking of the struggle under new conditions. So I think Puerto Rico is a reflection of that mm-hmm. global situation. And we right now, thanks to the repressive FBI tactics, it's been a new moment where, you know, marches and protests are coming alive again, trying to respond to this repression and trying to respond to the assassination of Filiberto Ojeda and trying to respond also to the Iraq war. So I think that there is a lot of new hopes, you know, mm-hmm. in this moment, this historical moment. Also what's happening in Latin America, in South America. So I think that after a period of transition and a lot of rethinking and a lot of confusion, I think that there's a moment now where there's some light again.
We're speaking to Elisam Escobar and Lawrence Reyes, who are talking to us about the exhibit Not Enough Space that's running at Self-Help Graphics. And Elisam is going to be here this weekend, and he's straight from Puerto Rico, and Lawrence is in our office here in the studio. And it's just to tell everybody, I could hear it, and I was telling Lawrence, I can hear the coqui back there, right, Elisam?
Right.
Well, Elisam, let's talk a little bit about Oscar Lopez Rivera and Carlos Alberto Torres, who I know for sure Oscar did not accept the terms that the federal government was asking of the prisoners at that time. I'm assuming maybe Carlos Alberto is the same situation. What is the status of the movement at this moment for their freedom?
What is the state of the campaign?
Yes, what's the status of the campaign?
Well, I think that when the campaign was in that situation, when they offered us, coming out with some conditions, we discussed it. And Carlos agreed that.
Elisam, could you...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're sort of fading in and out, brother.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Can you stay in one spot? Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so anyway, what I was saying is that when that stage of the campaign came to the offer, we have a discussion among all of us, and finally we decide that the majority, everybody, unanimously, that everybody should come out and... Carlos and Oscar support and, to come out of prison. And what they offered Oscar was not really something that we thought that it was in his benefit, mm-hmm. or that it was acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Carlos was not offered anything. So... after we came out, it was like it was a victory of the people who were part of the campaign for our incarceration, and we have a very most of the people in Puerto Rico really received us with open arms, and we were able to come back to our different work situations. And after all these years, it's been like almost 6 years, we are back into organizing for Oscar and Carlos, because the struggle against the U.S. Marine in Vieques was taking... it was the most important struggle. So it is not over, but now we have a new situation where we can really start educating a lot of people about Carlos and Oscar situation, and at the same time creating, trying to reach some consciousness about what's going on now and what is the situation now. And it's part of the movement discussions and struggles and demands. So this exhibition is, I would say that it has two sides, right? And one is the art that really... it's an exercise of liberation within this, the conditions of prison, and at the same time it serves to bring prison to people and to educate people and to show people who Carlos and Oscar are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was in Puerto Rico, Chicago, Philadelphia, And it's being a very effective way to convey people around and to really understand the situation.
We're also joined by Lawrence Reyes, who's with Alianza Puerto Ricana. Lawrence, why don't you, me and Tammy were discussing earlier, and I've always been a big, both big proponent and I guess more like a fan of the Puerto Rican independence movement, because in many ways, as Elisam was saying, the struggle for the liberation of the prisoners, it just brings head on the discussion of colonialism in Puerto Rico by the U.S., the essential colony that Puerto Rico serves for the U.S. What is the state of the movement here in the U.S. for the freedom, and how has the tour from at least the work that's happening here in the United States, how has it been going?
Well, I think the movement has refortified itself. I don't think the struggle for Vieques is over yet, because we still have some things to resolve there with the U.S. government. But I think the movement has, in other words, I think Filiberto's death was not in vain, and he has been able to fortify the forces, especially the young, to hit the streets again and to respond proactively to the repression by the FBI. And the struggle to free the political prisoners is a struggle that has been ongoing. The National Boricua Human Rights Network and like-minded organizations have always kept that in the forefront of their organizing. And the whole question of colonialism, that would have to be a weekend conference or something like that as well. But we know that Nestor Island, Puerto Rico, is the oldest known classical colony in the world. It's one of the only ones left. So we know that that our struggle is for independence and self-determination. And we don't think like a plebiscite could do any justice for the Puerto Rican people, because it's run as a sort of laissez-faire instrument of the U.S. government, which is the colonizer. So I think the first thing we need to do is to evict and deoccupy Puerto Rico by all those repressive forces, then we can start to address the issue of self-determination. But this exhibit has been a victory in terms of, like what Elisam was saying. I just want to say that the coquise, it's like music to my ears. It's really great to hear the coquise in the background.
For those of us who don't know, Lawrence, why don't you tell us what the coquise is?
Well, the coqui is a little frog, and it only lives in Puerto Rico. It's incapable of surviving elsewhere, although in Hawaii they've been able to multiply themselves. So I guess they have the attitude of, I can multiply when I want to,
right,
wherever I want to.
Or the struggle of self-determination.
Yeah,
Hawaii.
The struggle of self-determination is in Hawaii also, so it's not ironic. But this art exhibit, I just want to thank the people who, especially the National Boricua Human Rights Network, who curates this exhibit, KPFK for media sponsorship, Southport Graphics and Art, the Confederation of Iranians, Bayan USA, Hobby Arts, Jericho Amnesty Coalition to Free All Political Prisoners and Prisoners of War, the International Action Centers, Agents for Mobina Abu Jamal, Coalition in Solidarity with Cuba, C-Space, and the Free the Cuban Fight Coalition. So, we've been able to essentially bring the exhibit as a result of an idea that Alejandro Molina from the National Boricua Human Rights Network approached us with. And we are grassroots organizing people. It's a miracle, as well as an expression of Carlos Alberto Torres and Oscar Lopez, Rivera, to be able to share their art with the world and to share their humanity, because it's such beautiful work. And, the 25th, if I could just mention that real quick, the 25th, Elisam Escobar is going to be out to share with us many things, as well as Aslan Underground has just confirmed, mm-hmm. And Adiento Bolincano, which is a Bombay Planner group from San Diego, and just Hip Hop Nation, Hip Hop Universe, mm-hmm. Hobby Arts is a Filipino group mm-hmm. that's providing the canvases to do, you know, murals, to send messages to, you know, political prisoners. And it's just been a labor of love. It hasn't been easy, but I feel honored to, you know, share this airtime with Elisana Escobar, who's one of my heroes, as well as the other 10, you know, former political prisoners.
Well, on that topic, Elisam, you've written a lot about the role of art and, you know, revolution, basically. In one of the articles that you wrote, Power, Art, and Prison, there's a quote that you wrote. It says, there's a brutal difference between freedom as a slogan or at most psychologically attractive product of the modern contemporary psyche and the real practice of freedom, which is necessary as it is terrible in its consequences. There's also a dialectical relationship between the conscience of what is necessary and the capacity of sacrifice, courage, and the decisions required by the practice of freedom. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, I feel that, you know, art is it has a specificity. And I really understood this when I was in prison reflecting about my experience of political struggle and being involved in the cultural struggle and the art practice. And so I think that there are a lot of ways that we can use the symbolic exchange through all different manifestations of art in order to reach, not only to convince people, but to have a kind of communion, right? Where people can understand without having to make direct use of you know, the linguistic code or ideological code. And I think that whenever we are singing a song or, you know, the Puerto Rican hymn, there is this kind of communion, right? Where people get together and there is a power coming out. So I think that through art, through you know, a novel, through a painting, a song, you know, a poem, there is another energy that cannot be, in other words, that is a way where you can only express things that you cannot express through logical statements. And I think that, I mean, to me now it's a problem, you know, trying to explain this in English to the phone, you know. But it's like
when you come here, we can have that discussion.
But you know, I think it's very important that we don't reduce, you know, the reduction of experience to some concepts. In order to talk about, you know, when you talk about freedom and independence and socialism, it is also necessary to understand that we all have different experiences of what is freedom. So I think that when I was in prison, I understood that some people either idealize prisoners or demonize prisoners. But that the relationship of political prisoners with the movement sometimes is very problematic, because the two spaces, being, you know, inside and being outside, sometimes create a problem of communication. And I think that that's why art is so important, because it can overcome those barriers. And I think that, you know, to share to the experience through, you know, a symbolic way, I think it has as much power as it has you know, the organizing of people, understanding, you know, the needs of people and understanding what we would like to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, because of the system, ideological, powerful influence, sometimes we don't even know what our real needs. So therefore, you know, the reflection, the profound reflection that brings the immersion in art to all the different manifestations, I think can bring out some of these ways of having, you know, like a catharsis of what is a real need and what is the, you know, this thing that we call freedom and these things that we call, you know, the power of a community, and how to really construct this, you know, concept by overcoming, you know, the concept itself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, more or less this is what I believe art has to offer all of us.
Mm. So you're talking about the role of art in that it's tied to actual social protest and social organizing, and the power of art to construct. So not just to talk about society, but to make it.
Right. Yeah, I think that you know, as if you you know, go back into history, and you see how, you know, for example, you know, Marx used the artist as the model for the new, you know, the new person of a superior, you know, society. And I think that mythology have a lot influencing Marx ideas. So, you know, sometimes we cannot see this because we have the idea that poetry is good to collect funds, you know, to inspire people in order to go to a march. But there is something else that is important about art. And I think that in order to be able to understand that, you know, pragmatism being the philosophy of U.S. ruling class, I mean, a vulgarization of pragmatism, we can understand that everything becomes an instrument. And so the left sometimes will do the same thing. You know, it will reproduce the ideology of instrumentalism, where art is only good in order to get to achieve something else. And I think that we have to understand that the power of art is not just good to do that. I mean, it's good that it can do that, but it's also important because, after all, when we try to reflect on what is that we are struggling for and what are we going to do with that, then I think that answers are clearer through this manifestation of the symbolic. It might sound a little philosophical, but, you know.
Well, you'll get another chance to pleasure the people's ears this Saturday. So for our listeners, the main community event of Not Enough Space will take place this Saturday, March 25th, where Elisam Escobar will be the featured speaker.
Listen, I promise to bring a coquille in my pocket. We can reproduce in LA as well.
Is that a sacrifice?
And the event will include performance by Arieto Borincano, a bomba en plena group from San Diego, and more. For more information on the exhibit, contact 323-878-2275 or email alianzapr@hotmail.com. Thank you once again, Elisam Escobar and Lawrence Reyes.
Gracias, Elisam. Thank you.
Thank you to all of you.